Thank God. You can be seated this morning. So glad that you're here today. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the Lord to minister to our hearts. What about you? Amen. Yeah, and thank God for His Word and thank God for His Spirit. And they're both here today. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts right now and bow our minds, and let's just kind of shake off every preconceived idea and notion about today and us all being here together today and a family meeting, having a family Sunday, and let's just shake off everything, and let's just allow the Lord, let's allow the Holy Spirit to move. Amen? Let's allow Him to move. Let's allow Him to speak. And let's allow Him to have His way. Can we do that? Because that's what we want more than anything else. Amen? So, Father, we do that. Lord, we shake off everything. Lord, we bow our hearts. And Lord, we bow our minds to You, the King of the universe, the King of our hearts, the King of our minds, the One who orders and directs our steps, the One, Lord, whom we seek. And, Father, right now, Lord, I yield myself to You, spirit, soul, and body. And I yield myself to the offices which, Lord, I'm called, appointed, and do stand. Lord, the anointing upon those offices. Lord, I thank You that You do speak to us today in a mighty way. The Lord, that You bring peace, You bring comfort, You bring a surety to everybody that is here present today, or will ever find out about this service and the happenings here today. Father, we trust You, and we believe You for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a good day. Yes. It's not a bad day. It's a good day. Aren't you thankful we have good days? Some days seem to be gooder than others, but we still have good days all the time, don't we? Amen. Any day serving God is a good day. And thank God we are all serving God. This morning, I want to open up with some things and talk to you about a few things. I'm sure I know how the coconut wireless works. And so I'm sure some of you have already heard a few things, but that's all right. You get to hear it from the horse this morning.
Amen.
I'm not a horse, but you know what I mean. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and of course I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 6, and don't ever think that you know this verse totally and completely inside and out, frontwards and backwards, and that you have got everything that you can possibly get out of this verse, because you have not. Because I even got something new out of it yesterday. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 from the New Living, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Amen? Let's say it out loud together. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Now notice this last part. And He will give you everything you need. Let's personalize it. And He will give me everything I need. What does everything mean? Well, it means everything. The Father has made provision for our every need. Everything that we'll need. So let's think about that word everything. What is everything? Well, everything includes our health. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, He gives us everything that we need for our health, right? He gives us everything that we need financially. Amen. Every physical need. He gives us everything that we need physically. Oh, He does. That's who He is, as we seek first the kingdom of God. And not only that, He gives us every mental and emotional need. He gives us everything that we need. And we need that as well, too, don't we? There are needs there mentally and emotionally in the soulish realm. But He gives us that. He meets those needs. And he also, more importantly, because this is the foundation of it all, he meets every spiritual need. Amen. 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 Seek first the kingdom of God, and he gives us everything that we need. So as we are putting him first, and as we are pursuing him and the plan and the call of God on our life, then there is not a single need that can remain in our lives because he will meet it. Amen? That's so good. So it is an impossibility for your needs, whatever those needs to be may be in your life, to go unmet when you're putting Jesus first. Amen? When we make Jesus our number one priority, he personally sees to it that everything that you and I need is provided for us, and not just a little bit, but in abundance. Yeah. All right, the Passion Translation. Listen to this. The Passion says, so above all, everybody say above all. Above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Amen. Oh, I like that. Amen. Amen? I don't know if you're like me or not, but this is how I am. Sometimes I get to thinking about tomorrow. Amen. I've been thinking about tomorrow a whole lot lately. Amen. And whenever that happens, we just have to keep our focus on the King of the kingdom. Yes. Keep seeking him first. Roll every care and concern over on him and let him work out the details. Yes. Amen. 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 And if there's ever been, I want to say this to you, if there has ever been one thing that you have ever learned from me as your, first of all, your assistant pastor for 7 years, and then later as your senior pastor for over 13 years, 14, I guess it was, somewhere in that, 14 and a half, 15, go somewhere in there. But I could just put it to you this way. If there's anything that you've ever learned from me for the past 21 years, 5 months, and 7 days that I've lived here on this island, I pray that this one thing is the revelation that is contained in this one verse of Scripture. Because I believe that that is a foundation for every Christian, for our walk of faith, amen, for exercising faith, for everything, amen. Matthew 6:33, I believe that with my whole heart. So no matter what happens in life, you always put Jesus first, always put the will of God first, amen, and always embrace God's way of doing things, even in times when it's not convenient, and especially in times when it's not comfortable on your flesh. Amen. 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 I've had a lot of that. Matthew 6:33 from the Amplified, it says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Amen. Every Christian is to be seeking the kingdom of God, or seeking first the kingdom of God before any other kingdom. We are to put that kingdom before anything and everything, right? God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is more than a place. Thank God for the place, but it's bigger than a place. It's a lifestyle. It's a walk of faith. It's a way of living. It is a lifestyle of obedience to whatever it is that the Lord tells you to do. Amen? It's a way of doing things. It's God's way of doing things. And so when we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, we're not just talking about a place. We are talking about seeking his way of doing things. How does he want us to do things? How does he want us to handle things? Amen. And that is what we are to be seeking more than anything else, and putting that first. Amen? And that means that we're going to have to lay aside all other kingdoms and all other ways, including our own ways of thinking and our own ways of doing things. And we must come to a final resolve that there are things more important in this life than the temporary pleasures of sin. There are more things more important in this life than fleeting cravings of the flesh. Amen. And there are more things that there are things that are greater, have greater significance and greater importance than the will of our own hearts and minds. Amen. And that's eternal things. Eternal things matter. There is one thing for sure that I have learned about in this life, one certainty, and with that, that certainty is this, is that change is always certain.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It is. It's just kind of how it happens. Amen. Many times we get the idea that things will never change because that's just how we like things to be, right? But the Lord has other ideas sometimes. Amen. And that's the reason why that we must continually make the most of our earthly lives by putting the will of God first and foremost before anything else in this life. It matters. Amen? And think about this, that no matter how long we live on this earth, our earthly lives, the time that we live here, is nothing but a very small, minuscule scratch on God's marker or on God's timeline. When you think about eternity, I've used this example so many times. Eternity is like stretching a rope, right? And there's no end to this rope that goes this way, and there's no end to this rope that goes that way, because it goes on for eternity. And that's like our lives, so to speak, in the eyes of God. But while we're here on this earth, our time here on this earth, it's kind of like looking at that rope that has no beginning and has no end, and we put like, we take this fine marker and we draw a straight line down the middle of this rope, and that is our earthly life. Amen. There's so much more before it and there's so much more after it. And so then the things that transpire and the things that go on in this little scratch of time that sometimes 70, 80, 90, 100, and 110, 120 years or however long it is that you live here on this earth, they're important that we put spiritual things first, that eternal things carry the most weight and significance to us more than anything else. Amen. The will of the King in our kingdom. Amen. The Ben Campbell Johnson puts it this way, Matthew 6:33. It says, you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all of your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. The Phillips translation says, set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. In other words, when you set your heart on his kingdom and his goodness and all these other things that you need, because you're set on his kingdom, right? Your heart is set there. Then all these other things come to you as a matter of course, as you are on the course of the kingdom. Amen. Whatever need it may be, it's there for you.
That's right.
Amen. God's Word translation says, but first, be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. You know, we truly must want to do things the way that God wants us to do things. We truly must desire his approval.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I want to live a life that is acceptable to the Lord. A life of faith. A life of obedience to him. Approving. Being approved of God. Amen. The Living Bible says, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to.
Right.
Oh, isn't that good?
Yes, it is.
Give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to live.
Yes.
You know, there are areas of our lives that each of us can look at right now, right here on this very day. You can look at areas of your life, because the Holy Spirit will show you as I'm talking to you right here and right now. There are areas and there are things in your life where Jesus just isn't quite first. There are things there in each of us where we're still learning to put him first.
Amen.
Right? Where we are still growing in that.
Amen.
Amen. So we can all still stand a little more of this Matthew 6:33, can't we?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So We got to give him first place. And always strive to give him first place. And always strive to live as he wants us to live. Because this is the will of God. No matter what comes our way. No matter what challenges come up. Always put him first. You know, it's a real adventure serving God. It is. Amen? It's a real adventure putting his will before your will. You ever want to put your will first? I think we all do because that's just kind of human nature, right? Amen? Because if we have to put his will first, then we're going to have to lay aside our will. We'll have to humble ourselves. And what a concept here. We're going to have to trust him. And that's actually what he wants anyway. Amen? Oh, we can put a big amen right there, can't we? Amen? Now, when we are serving God, there are things that happen during the course of serving God that will, he will require of us certain things that will go on where he will stretch you. He'll stretch your thinking. He'll stretch you mentally and emotionally. He'll stretch you physically. He'll stretch you spiritually. He'll stretch you on every level. That is a lifestyle of faith. Amen. Sometimes the stretching can be difficult, but in the end, we will be so thankful that we allowed the Lord to stretch us because it's in the stretching that we find true growth. Amen. I don't know about you, but we need to stretch more. Amen. This ministry is stretching more. Glory to God. Amen. We're expanding. We're stretching. Amen. Look over at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Oh, I got to hurry up. Psalm 37. And I like this verse in verse 23 from the New Living. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." Man, I got a lot of details in my life. I don't know about you, but man, there's some details. A lot of details. Amen. Amen. It's in the details that we try to figure things out, right? Because details are important. We want to know about the details. But it says here that the Lord directs the steps of the godly and he delights in every detail of their lives. My goodness. The Lord is delighting in your details. The details that matter to you, they matter to God. And he's right in the middle of it. It says in verse 24, "Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread." That's good news right there, isn't it? Amen. The Message Bible. It says, "Stalwart walks in step with God, his path blazed by God, he's happy. If he stumbles, he's not down for long. God has a grip on his hand. I was once young, now I'm gray-bearded. Not once have I seen an abandoned believer or his kids out roaming the streets." I like that. We put it to you this way. God's never going to let you down. He's never going to abandon you. Amen? He will never, ever abandon us. The Passion says, "The steps of the God-pursuing ones," those who are seeking first the kingdom, in other words, "follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord. And God delights in every step they take to follow him. If they stumble badly, they will survive, for the Lord lifts them up with his hands. I was once young, but now I'm old. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him, nor have any of their children gone hungry." Boy, isn't that good? Amen. He is so faithful even to take care of our kids. Not only will you not go hungry, but your kids won't go hungry. For the God-pursuing ones, those that are seeking first the kingdom. Young's literal translation puts verse 23 this way. It says, "From Jehovah are the steps of a man. They have been prepared, and his way he desireth." Isn't that good? The steps, our steps have been prepared by God. And that is what he desires of us, and that is what we desire as well, to follow in those steps. Amen. The Lord has a plan. Think about this. For every day that you live, every single day. I'm seeing this more and more and more. The more that I progress in the plan of God and the call of God and growing in my walk with him, he has a plan for every single day. There are things that he wants to get across to us and that where we he desires for us to grow every single day. Amen. He has a plan for today. And that's awesome to me. Amen. We got to understand this, that our lives are truly in his hands to lead, guide, and to direct us as he sees fit. Amen. We must understand an all-important truth about serving God, and that we are, and that truth is this, is that we are all called of God. Every single one of us. You are just as much called of God as I am. I wrote a book on it back there. You should read it sometime. Amen. You are called. Say it with me. I'm called.
I'm called.
I'm called of God. Amen. First of all, we are called to him. We are called to a relationship with him. Every single one of us, just to simply walk and to be with him on a daily basis. We are called to grow in that relationship with the Lord. And secondly, we are called for him. Amen? Called to do something for him here in the earth. We have an assignment from heaven here in the earth, right? And thirdly, we must understand this, that both of these things, the call to him, and the call for him, both of these things are a progression. We progress or we grow in our relationship with the Lord by coming to know him greater every day. And we progress in what we are called to do for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, put it to you this way. You don't always end up where you start out. Does that make sense? You don't always end up where you start out. You progress in the plan of God. You progress in the call of God. In other words, there are phases. Everybody say phases. There are phases to the call of God upon our lives. And each phase brings with it a different set of responsibilities, a different set of challenges, a different set of stretching, a different set of learning experiences, a new level of joy, a new level of peace. I mean, all of these things. Amen. Within each phase. Amen. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this morning. I know a lot of you know my story, but it's important that I say some of these, especially today, that, you know, the hand of God has always been about my life, just like it's always been about your life. I don't take away from that. Amen? But you don't always realize the hand of God being about your life. Am I the only one to actually figure that out? You can look back at certain points and times. Yeah. Amen? Sometimes he does allow us to look back, and then we can see that he was with us all along when we were screaming and crying, "Where are you at?" Or maybe we didn't even know that he existed, or he even cared enough, or was even there. Amen? But he has been there all along, leading, protecting, guiding, nurturing us in his love. Sometimes, like I said, it may not feel or look like it, but he has been there for you and for me, and he will always be. Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about my personal progression in the call of God. You know, personally speaking, you guys know this, I've talked about it, that, you know, my childhood and upbringing, it wasn't the best, like many of you, I'm sure. Some of you may have had a wonderful childhood, and that's fine, and that's great. But I had a rocky start to my life. The Lord has always been gracious to me in that rocky start. Amen. And without going into too many details this morning, but through a series of events, you know, I ended up leaving Kentucky and moving to Fort Myers, Florida in the fall of 1987. And I moved down there to be with my family, to be with my aunt and uncle. And it was there in Fort Myers, Florida, that I totally surrendered my life to the Lord and answered his call to be with him. And in being with him, I very quickly and very soon discovered that he had something for me to do. So then I began to pursue that. Long story short, I went to Rhema, right? And in August of 1991, while pursuing the call of God at Rhema, I had the honor of becoming both fast friends and best friends with a precious little girl from here, from Maui, by the name of Robert. And then, a couple of years later, on July 31st, 1993, and actually in 2 weeks, it's going to be 24 years. That's kind of cool. Robert and I were married, and then we both began serving God together in a local church in Georgia where we moved and where we lived for a couple years. And then, as we were there in January of 95, you know, we discovered shortly after January of 95, it's probably towards the end of it, we discovered that through another series of events that Robin was pregnant. How in the world did that happen? Yeah, I mean, seriously, because it did come as a total shock and total surprise that she did get pregnant, because she was on birth control and we were not planning on having a baby. That was not in our plans at all. But she got sick and she took this strong antibiotic, and that just kind of killed the birth control thing that was going on. And then we didn't know that. The doctor didn't warn us of those things. And so then the next thing we know, we're pregnant and having a baby. How trippy is that? Then our lives forever changed on October the 5th, 95, when Bethany was born. You know, there's one thing that I've learned through the years of serving God, that sometimes things happen, and the things that the Lord requires out of us and things that go on in our lives, they usually happen at the times when we think that they shouldn't ever be happening. Am I the only one? They always happen at the most inconvenient of times. Why is this happening right now? Okay, yeah, maybe later, 5 years, 10 years down the road, but not right now. This ain't God. You ever said that? Oh, we all have. Why do we say that? Because we're human. Because we're still growing. We're still learning a few things. Amen. You know, I would wait until all the conditions were absolutely perfect before I ever did anything in life, just because I want to know about these things. I want to plan about these things, right? Especially when it comes to the phases and the call of God upon my life and ministry. I'd like to know every single little thing, but the Lord just doesn't always show us all of that all at one time. Because if he did, then where's faith? Right? Amen. Amen. On February the 9th, 1996, I've moved my little family here to this island in obedience to the call of God. And there, here is where we began the first phase of our lives in ministry. The voice of the Lord spoke to me in an audible way to come here. That's pretty trippy when you think about it. Amen? And then shortly after arriving here, just in a matter of months after arriving here, the Lord spoke to me one morning in the shower right up here in the house. And he said, from this moment forward, you will begin to stand in the office of the prophet. And went on to say a few more things, but it scared me so much that I didn't pray. I didn't say anything back to him when he spoke to me for 3 days, because it was spooky and it was heavy. And so finally on the third day, I acknowledged the Lord. Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge what you said, and my life is in your hands, right? Then that was, you know, how the plan of God and the call of God progresses. And then towards the end of 2002, I began to sense the Lord directing us and leading us that he had, we were about to enter the second phase of our lives in ministry shortly after that. And so I immediately thought, my first thought was, when the Lord spoke that to through our hearts about us entering the next phase, phase two of our lives in ministry, that he was then going to take us from Maui and then launch us out, and then we would begin ministering in other churches and helping pastors and churches on the mainland and around the world. I'm like, wow, this is really exciting. He's going to do that. Amen. Because honestly, truthfully, I'm just talking to you as a human now, right? It's okay. I never planned Amen. Never had a desire before, you know, the Lord spoke and did all of this until the grace of God came on me for these things. I never had a desire or plan on being a pastor. Are you kidding me? Those people got too many problems. Are you here? You know what I'm trying to say, right? Everybody's got problems, don't get me wrong. Amen. But what a joy it's been. What a true joy it has been. Amen. But, you know, I began to get excited. You know, he said phase two is coming. You're about to enter phase two of your ministry. But then in February 2003, through a series of events, the Lord spoke to me as I was preaching right here in this pulpit, probably using the same mic. Actually, I've had the same mic for years. And I was standing right over here, here close to where Carolyn's at, right here, in just about this spot. And the voice of the Lord came to me again. And you know what he said? He said, this is phase two. You guys didn't hear it, but I heard it. So much so, I wanted to turn around and look. It shakes you in your skin. He said, this is phase two. I want you to pastor this church. And so it really wasn't what I wanted to hear, just to be honest with you. Because at the time, you know, the church is going through a storm, you know, things that are going on, right? But it's, yes, sir, I'll do it. And so we answered the call of God to do that, to do phase two of our ministry. Amen? During the last few years, I've been having this sensing inside of my heart and spirit and starting again that phase three has been waiting on us. Phase three of our lives and ministry. And we've been on the edges and fringes of it actually for a few years. But now's the time for us to enter the next phase of our lives and ministry. Amen. The Lord has graced us and taught me many good things over the course of the last 21 and a half years since, you know, I've been here. And in one sense, I've not only helped you spiritually grow and progress in the call and the plan of God, but you've helped me grow as well. We've kind of helped each other in this. Amen. The Lord has been equipping us both for this day and for this time. Almost 22 years, that's really cool, here on Maui. He has been equipping us for the future. That's pretty cool. Amen? You and I, if you've been here around any length of time at all, we have weathered several storms. But we've done just exactly that. We've weathered the storms. And we always win, and we always come out on top. And there's one thing for certain in this life, that there's always going to be storms. And storms happen usually at no fault of any particular person or any particular individual. We can point and blame fingers and all of that type stuff. But, hey, we don't usually ask for the storm. Sometimes they just show up. Amen? But that's where faith comes in. That's how we overcome these things. Amen? Amen? So for the past two decades, you and I, we have weathered many storms together. And we've always come out on top. And the good has always been so much more gooder than any challenge that we've ever faced, has it not? Oh, it has. It has. And if you've never faced any storms in life, and especially in a church, and especially in a ministry, when everything is just always right, nothing ever happens, nothing's ever going on, there's never a storm, then that ministry is not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. No, it's not. So what do you do about that? Well, you become a threat. We don't want storms, but we do. If that makes sense. Meaning that we are doing something that the enemy perceives us and recognizes us as a threat to his kingdom and his work. Amen? Hence, things happen. Life happens. Things come up. Amen? I'm humbled to say that over the course of all these years, and even though I'm not a perfect man by any means, I'll be the first to tell you that, but there has never, ever been a scandal in our ministry. And by his grace, there will never be a scandal in our ministry. You hear? Amen. Amen. You know, my precious wife of, like I said, in a couple of weeks of 24 years, she was born and raised here on this island. Sure was born right up the road here where many of you probably were, right? And not only that, but she wasn't just born here on this island, but she was also born into the ministry. She's called, and she's anointed of God. Amen. I am a blessed man. Amen. Amen. What an honor it is to have a wife such as Robin. You know, you're aware, you know, we've been dealing with some health challenges that have prevented her from continuing on within the church and continued on serving as pastor, co-pastor with me since October of last year. But we do know this, that the supernatural power of God is at work. Amen. Are you here?
Amen.
The supernatural power of God is at work in her life in a big way and restoring her health physically and restoring her health mentally and emotionally. Right here and right now.
Amen.
Through tears, she told me this morning, I wish I could be there today, but I just can't. So Robin sends her love. Know that she loves you. But know this, that the power of God is working there.
Amen.
As well. Amen? Amen? We're doing our part in the natural to pursue the medical help that she needs, but that help isn't readily available here on Maui. We have found some temporary help on Oahu. But that help, it won't suffice us as to everything that really, truly needs to be done for Robin medically. Hence, I will be relocating my family back to the mainland to get her the help that she so desperately needs. She has forever been and will forever be my number one priority. Taught you that for years. Amen. We always put God first, and you take care of your family. You take care of the needs that are there. Amen. Because if that ain't any good, ain't nothing else going to be any good. So that's all going to be good, right? Amen. And so we're going to be doing that because her health is my priority. And I do know that you understand that. Raise your hand if you understand. We understand.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I will be installing in the days ahead as the Lord leads and the timing begins to unfold. We are believing God for supernatural timing. Say supernatural.
Supernatural,
supernatural timing. I will be installing Herman and Carol as our new lead and senior pastors here at Faith Family Maui. Our church bylaws give me the authority and empower me to do just exactly that, to appoint my successor. They will not be voted upon. They will not be voted in.
Amen.
This is a theocracy. Amen. Where the Lord installs people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank God for that. And just as I have not been perfect, you know that. They're not perfect either. They're probably going to screw up. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom over them. But what do they do when they screw up? Same thing we do for you when you screw up. Right?
Yes.
Amen? Amen? You help each other up.
Amen.
We support. And the percentages become far less for people screwing up when everybody just sticks together. Because when we stick together in something, then nobody has to get screwed. That makes sense? I'm going to say this, even though I'm going to be installing them in the days ahead as senior pastors here. I want to say this that and make sure that you understand this with crystal clear ears. You are never, ever going to get rid of me. Now, like it or lump it. Too bad. Some of you may have been rejoicing. Oh, I'm glad he's leaving. Sorry, I may be moving to the mainland, but I ain't leaving.
That's right.
If that makes sense.
Take care of your partner.
Are you here?
Yes.
And so you're not going to be able to fully get rid of me. I will remain on with Faith Family Maui as part of the church as what we call Pastor Emeritus. Pastor Emeritus. And that is a spiritual term, a Latin term that is used to describe a retiring pastor that remains on as part of the church in an honorary capacity to advise and to assist and to be there with the family, be connected with the family. Amen. And that's what I'll be doing. The hopefuls will operate with the full authority. Everybody say full.
Full.
The full authority that comes along with being senior pastors. Amen.
Amen.
But I will remain on to help them. To make sure that, you know, they have all the help that they need and everybody's doing good and headed the right direction. Amen. And here's one thing that you can rest assured of, and you need to understand this again with crystal clear ears. And see this with crystal clear eyes, that I will always support your pastors. And I will always support our church family. And you will never ever see me undermining their spiritual authority. We are all family, and we all work in cooperation with each other for one common goal, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to call. Don't try to say, well, Pastor Herman's doing this, and you know, what do you think about this, Pastor Wayne? No, that's not your place to do that. Don't put me in that position. And if you were to ever put me in that position, you know what I would say? You better call Pastor Herman. Amen? Because we stick together. We work together for one common purpose, one common goal. So I will let you know when the exact timing of all of this will transpire, when the Lord works out all the details for us, and I know that He will. So I want you to believe with me for supernatural timing. Will you do that?
Amen.
Yeah, believe with me for that. Because it's time for the next phase. Say it with me. It's time for the next phase.
It's time for the next phase.
Yeah, it is. It's time for the next phase. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us, you know, many people to assist us, fathers in the faith and different ones that help us, Robin and I. And during the course of, you know, some time, you know, talking with Dennis Burke, who's been quite a prophetic voice here, has he not?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, tremendous. And such a tremendous help to Robin and I through the years and has been and will continue to be. But the word of the Lord came to him on May the 20th this year, because we had been talking about things and we've been, you know, praying about the plan of God and, you know, and, you know, I'm getting counsel, right? Getting counsel about these things. Because you never make a decision like this without having godly counsel.
Yes.
You don't ever want to be out there on your own. Amen?
Amen.
And so the word of the Lord came to him, and this is what the Lord said through him. He said, "You are being called to transition into an upgraded identity and assignment." I like that. Then he went on, he said, "Even the mistakes of your past will serve your new mission because you've learned what works and what doesn't. God will cause all those things to work together for you, and you can rest in the confidence that nothing is lost."
Amen.
And he said that, you know, I'm so glad that the Lord said that through him. You can rest in the confidence that nothing is lost because, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Are you here now?
Yes.
It's hard to turn loose of some of these things when you've put so much seed, you know, so much time and so much effort and so much prayer, so much faith, so much finances, you know, everything else that comes along with it, right? You know, almost 22 years worth. It's not easy just saying, okay.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But when the Lord's in it, he said this. He said, "You can rest assured, or you can rest in the confidence that nothing is lost." In other words, everything's okay. Everything's all right. Do this. Amen? And so, I want to say this. Since Robin and I are being upgraded and transitioned into an upgraded identity, an upgraded assignment, upgraded mission, the Lord's moving us that direction, that means that you and I are both being upgraded. Amen? And transitioned in this. That means that Herman and Carol, are you here?
Yes.
Are being upgraded. We're family, and we all stick together. Where one goes spiritually, we all go. I've been meditating on a certain psalm, and I want to read it to you this morning. Look over at Psalm 139, and I'm going to wind up here in just a minute because Herman's going to come and talk to us for a few minutes too. Psalm 139. And as you're turning there, I want to say this, that I have always and will continue to endeavored to live a transparent life and to make you aware of things that are going on. And I have been a little bit slow about some of these things and slow about saying some of these things simply because we're making sure. I would rather move too slow than move too fast. That make sense? Because when you're slow, you can be sure. Glory to God. If you want, you want to hear something funny? I was texting this morning. Actually, I was texting the last few days, but it was Dennis Burke. I don't know where he's at. He's somewhere preaching. But anyway, we were talking about things, and we were talking about praying about when, you know, when we should let you know about this, and when, you know, when we could be released to say something publicly about all of this and what's going on and what we're going to do. And I said, well, hey, you know, can you come over and can you be with us and maybe be there for the day that, you know, I talk about these things? And he said, sure. And he said, but my schedule is really tight. And but we'll just see, you know, if anything opens up or changes. And so some time ago, I don't know, it was probably a month and a half or so ago, he let me know. He said, hey, my schedule's changed and I have July the 16th. What is today? Sunday, July the 16th. He said, I have Sunday, July 16th open on my calendar. He said, if you want, I will fly over there on Saturday, and I will be there Sunday morning for your service, and then I will leave on Monday. I can do a little quick trip to Hawaii. And I said, well, let me talk to Robin. Let me talk about some of these things. And, you know, because like, wow, yeah, it's really quick in my eyes, right? And so Robin and I talked about it, and we talked about it. Together, Robin and I, and we just thought, no, that's just a little bit too quick because we're not ready. Because we're going slow. We want to make sure that everything is put together in all of this, right? And so I said, no, let's just wait. And so then he texted me this morning. He said, hey, guess what? I just realized something. That today was the day that I said that I could be there, and I'm not there. And you're doing this today. Well, all right. Thank God that, you know, he was so willing to be here today and to help us do all of this. But Herman and I talked about all of this. You know, this is kind of really a family matter. And thank God for that, and thank God for these ones that can help. But actually, this is kind of just immediate family. Even though he's family, this is immediate family business. You'll be back. He'll be back to minister here, and so, you know, he can catch up all that stuff then. But I think this is good. Is this all right? Amen. So this is where we're at. Amen. So I just told a little bit there, but I thought it was kind of cool. I told him in my text, I said, that is trippy. The same date, and here we are today. Wow. Psalm 139. The Lord is supernaturally leading us. That was just a little confirmation to me by the Holy Ghost this morning. Hey, you're in the right track. Keep going here. Amen. Psalm 139, and I'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. My goodness, we're still trying to figure out today, but the Lord has got every moment of every day figured out for the rest of our earthly lives. That's trippy. Amen? He said, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, you are still with me. Isn't that trippy? Now, let me read this to you. If you don't have a passion there with you, just kind of close your Bible and just listen to me because I want you to hear this. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to back up actually to verse 1, Psalm 139, verse 1 out of the Passion. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You've examined my innermost being with your loving gaze. You perceive every moment of my heart and soul. every movement of my heart and soul, and understand every thought before it enters my mind. Sometimes we don't even know what we're thinking, but the Lord knows our thoughts before we even have the thought. Wow. I can't even wrap my mind around that, can you? You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. That's trippy, because he just knew the words that were coming out of my mouth, because he's put them there before I even formed a sentence, even in my thoughts. That's amazing. I think sometimes we forget how big God is. Amen. And how much he does lead and guide and speak through us. Glory to God. Goes on. He says, you know every step I will take before my journey begins. Sometimes we don't even know the next step. But the Lord knows every step, it says, that we take, that I will take, before our journey begins. And verse 5 is so good and so important. It's one that I lean heavily upon, and I'm sure you do too. It says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing to me. Wow. Man, that's a good shouting verse right there. That's amazing to me. Amen? It's so amazing to me that the Lord, he goes in before us into our future. Because remember, we're just that little scratch on the rope, but he's already there. He's God. You don't do anything. Are you here? In the kingdom of God, without him giving you permission, or without him knowing, without him orchestrating and preparing the way for everything. Amen. Amen. 21 years ago, he saw this day. Amen. I saw this day too, but I didn't see it quite like this. I saw it a little bit different. Can I just be honest? I saw it a whole lot different. I knew that we would be turning the church over and all of this type stuff. And Lord, show me Herman and Carol several years ago. Absolutely. Sure did. But I always thought, moving into this next phase, I always thought I would just live here. Hey, forget the money. I know it's going to be a lot more expensive. A lot more plane rides, longer rides, higher airfares, everything else that's involved. I don't care. We'll just believe God. I don't care.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? That's how it was. But the Lord's had a different plan here. He has. We can make plans. And I was thinking about this verse. And I'll come back to this. Over in Proverbs 16 and 9. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down if you want. But it says in Proverbs 16, 9. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Oh, he does. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. The Passion says, within your heart, you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps that you take to get there. Amen.
Amen.
So we can make plans about things, absolutely, but you're never going to do anything unless the Lord chooses your steps. I'm thankful that he has chosen our steps today. Amen. Let me read it again. It says, back verse 5, Psalm 39, 5. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of the past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me to wonder and strength. Where should I go? Or what from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who created me. Now listen to this. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Amen. Wrap your mind around that, because some of us are still trying to figure out who we are. Amen. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of my days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. That is so much to meditate on. Oh my gosh. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought, oh God. Your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still thinking of me. That's amazing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to know that you are living and walking in the Father's supernatural plan for your life. He holds the entire world in his hands, right? Which means that he holds you and I. Which means that he holds your past with his grace, his love and forgiveness for the mistakes and things that you've done, maybe the sinful past, right? And he holds our present, what's going on right here, right now. And he also holds the future. Whew. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Say it with me. It's time for the next phase. It is. It's time for the next phase. I want you guys to continue to pray for this ministry. To pray for Robin and I, of course, and to pray and believe God with me for the supernatural timing, like I said, when all of this is going to actually happen, because when it happens, we're going to have a humdinger of a service. Are you here? We're going to lay hands on Herman and Carol and install them as pastors here and impart that spiritual authority and that anointing. I will release it in the spirit and give it to them. And so you need to be here and witness that. That's going to be an amazing time. Amen. My house is on the market. You know, Miss Audrey over here is a gem herself. And is actually, she's the one that helped sell us the house and put us there. It's kind of amazing. And so Audrey has her house on the market. It's been there for a couple of weeks. And that will sell. And believe God with me for a minimum of a full price offer. It'd be great to go over that, wouldn't it, Audrey? It'd be cool if they could just double that, you know. It could happen. Would I pay that for that house? No. But if somebody wants to, I'll take it. That's all right? So believe God with me for that. We're selling our house furnished so we don't have to take everything to the mainland, because it's just a lot of stuff. And we actually don't even know all the details of, you know, everything, where everything's going to be just exactly yet. Where are we going? Well, we've talked a lot about that. because we want to make sure that we're in a place where we can get Robin the help that she needs, right? And so we do have some options and some things that we're looking at. Actually, the first place that we were thinking about was Huntington Beach, there in Southern California. Thinking about that and like, wow, you know, what a cool place. Amen? But then we also have been thinking about another place, quite different from Huntington Beach, a place called Nashville, Tennessee. And that's actually kind of an old stomping ground for myself, being just a very short drive from where I'm from in Kentucky. So I spent a lot of time there growing up, a lot of time as a kid and teenager and all that stuff. And we're kind of, at this moment, we're kind of leaning a bit towards Nashville. So we'll see. I want to make sure that we're centrally located where the Lord can use us and that we got access to, you know, airports and all of that type of stuff. And we can also just get in the car and drive to where we need to go for a meeting or whatever the case may be. But the ministry side of it will come later down the road. Because as I said, my number one priority is Robin. So we'll be taking some months off. And to just simply kind of, you know, take care of her, make sure that she gets everything she needs, and we'll get an apartment, something like that, and then make sure, you know, we're in the exact place where we need to be. Probably going to go a little slow with it, we'll see, and just so everything's good. Amen? And so I'll be coming back here to preach for you and to minister here. And to see you, and you know, we can have week-long meetings if we want. I don't care. We can have church on the beach. We can have picnics. We can have all kinds of stuff, which I hope we do. I mean, bless God, one of these days we will have church on the beach. I've been saying that for years. And so thank you for understanding and for having grace about us. And realize, hey, we think we got it all figured out sometimes, but He's actually the only one who's got it figured out. So we just have to allow Him to do the figuring, then we trust and rely Him to sort out the details of it all. Amen? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Pastor Herman, you want to come and share a little bit? This all right, everybody? I hope I'm not making everybody sad or disappointed, but you know, like I said, you know, there's a natural side of this for us as well. You know, there's a turning loose. And, you know, when we came to Maui and the Lord spoke to us to come here, we had to get out of the boat over there to come here. That was a step of faith to do that. And now, interesting enough, is that Maui has now become a boat again. And so He's requiring us to get out of the boat once more. So we're going to get out. We're going to walk on the water. Go ahead, sir.
Everybody doing okay? You know, I heard somebody say, you want to make God laugh? Tell Him your plans. Amen. But, you know, when we had started believing with Pastor Wayne and Robin, where God was leading us as a family, one of the scriptures Pastor Wayne and I, well, conversed with each other was the steps of a good man are ordered by God, you know? And we just believe, well, we believe that our steps are being ordered by God even now. And I like that song, that the praise and worship song. How do you go? Well, first of all, just to let you guys know, I'm not perfect, right? We're being perfected. But that song, it says, I found where I belong. I'm a living stone in this house. We will grow. Yeah. We found this place. Well, God found us, right? But I wanted to share some stuff in regards to Pastor Wayne was mentioning about every detail of we will continue to praise God for the men and women of God that we have. The Mises and the Savelles and the Burks, the Hausingers. These men will continually surround us and give us advice and counsel. We will keep that intact. How many of you know that in a group of multitude counselors, there's safety? So we want to be in a safe place. We want you to know that as well. And I'll continue direct counseling and direction with Pastor Wayne as well. So to let you guys know that. Amen? But I came across this particular scripture in John chapter 13, verses 1. I'm just going to give, for time's sake, it's something that the Lord showed me a couple weeks ago. And the whole context is Jesus is celebrating with his disciples the Passover feast, right? He's celebrating the Passover feast, which is the night before his death. The reality of it, he knew that he was born to die for the sins of mankind. Now, the reality is he's sitting with his disciples, the very ones he loved, and right smack in his face, he's facing with the reality. It's happening. It's starting. I'm going to be crucified. Amen. The very purpose why he was sent to this earth, that he becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So he becomes the Passover. The reality of it, yeah, there was many years that was spoken, but now, right now, the next day, this is happening. The plan of God is unfolding. Let's say it that way. So he's having a meal with his disciples, and in the course of the meal, he stands up, takes off his outer garment, puts on an apron, and the Bible says he begins to fill up a bowl, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet, right? He begins to administer that he, the Messiah, begins to serve his disciples by washing their feet. Now, if you know anything about Jewish customs, it was customary that when you were invited to a meal, prior to that, they would wash your feet. And the person that washed your feet was someone who was a servant or a slave, not of that Jewish culture. Your feet would be washed. Because, you know, some meal, they would eat on a low table, and your foot would be exposed. And when your feet is exposed, guess what? You can smell your feet as well, right? How many of you wives ever wash your husband's socks? It's like, man, your socks is ripe, right? And because they walked with sandals in the dirty roads, their feet would get dirty. So it was very customary that they wash their feet before the meal. But what was more astounding was, to the disciples, was here, Jesus, the Messiah, is washing their foot. And they're taken back. Because in their minds, they're thinking, we should have been washing his feet. But here, Jesus is setting the example of a servant. So now Peter is watching all this, right? The Bible says that Jesus begins to approach Peter, and he's the last to get his foot washed, and he's observing all of this, but Peter is the only one that speaks up. He says, you going to wash my feet, Jesus? Not in regards of question, but reluctance. He was actually saying, you ain't going to wash my feet. And here's what I want to point out, what Jesus says in verse 7. He tells Peter this. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Yeah. So a lot of the times we don't understand. Why, God? Why now? Just like Pastor was sharing. We might not understand. But after a while, you will. I remember when my oldest brother went to the Air Force, he enlisted, and I was 12 years old, and in my finite 12-year-old mind, I thought, why does he have to leave? He's messing up the dynamics of this family. I didn't understand, because I was going to miss him. We're going to miss Pastor Wayne and Pastor Robin. I will. We've established a tremendous friendship during the course of the years. And I couldn't understand why my brother had to leave. But, you know, during the years, I understood, because it was his purpose. God called him to serve our country in the Air Force. But at that time, I didn't understand. And just like the Lord is saying, Peter, you might not understand why I'm doing this, but later on you will. And there's a lot of things that God does that we don't understand. But you know what? There's a lot of things I do understand now that I didn't. Amen? I do know that God is faithful in all his endeavors, in fulfilling his will. You know, think about it this way. Our church speaks volumes of who we are, right? We're faith, we're family, and we live on Maui. And check this out. Pastor's having to step out in his third phase, and he's launching out in faith. He is. Because we're faith, family, Maui. That's what we do. Pastor Kara and I are stepping out in faith as well. It's a place we've never been. So we're stepping out in faith because we're faith, family, Maui. And you all, we all, are stepping out in faith. As Pastor shared, the basis of faith, family, Maui, if there's ever any scripture that associates us with whatever scripture in the Word, is Matthew 6:33. And this is something we will continue to do. We are a spirit church. We are a word church. We will continually allow the Holy Ghost to lead our lives. We will teach the Word of God in its entirety. We will grow together. In this house, we will grow, right? Because God placed us in this house. And we will all grow together as a family, as an ohana, utilizing each and every one of us that you bring a supply, and you're very important to this family and the well-being of this family, and that you bring a supply. You want to come with me? Yeah. And each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, you have something to bring and something to give. You know, it's always been a privilege to be serving, and it's humbling right now for us. You know, 1985, Carol and I came to this church, and we served under Pastor, well, not served, we were just babes, under Charlie and Thelma Blake in 1985. You know, and God led us to this place. Raising the Catholic faith and coming to Pentecostal was traumatic. But it was good. It was exciting. Yeah. But, yeah, we served under Thelma and Pastor Charlie Blake. And then 3 months later, they made an announcement that they were retiring, and that transition was occurring back then. And we had come to love them and the people very much. In fact, Lena and Carol and Bernie and Clyde, we go way back, yeah. And the transition took place, and that's where Pastor Les and Vivian took over. And we served under that ministry for many years. And then when another transition took place, and that's Pastor Wayne and Robin, and we transitioned in that pastorship, and we served under them many, many years. We knew this day was coming, but we didn't know that it would be now. And when it did come, we were like, wow, what's happening? Just like, and I'm pretty sure Pastor Wayne and I talked, and now the reality, Jesus is celebrating Passover, and the reality of it, it's there. It's happening. And it's there for him, and it's happening. And it's there for us, and it's happening. It's right there. And just like Jesus, he had to submit to the will of the Father because it was the plan of God. And just as us and Pastor Wayne, we're submitting to the will of Father because it's his plan, it's his purpose. Yeah, it seems like the very thing you wanted at one time, you don't want it no more. But God places that desire and love for it because we know it's his will. We have to submit our will because it's his will. That's what it is. We love God. We love the Lord. We love each other. We love our pastors. We love you, the people. Yeah, we generally do. And we would have no other, how can I put it, for your well-being, as any parent have for their children. Yeah, to see you grow, to see you come into a place in God, and to see you excel in the things of God. That's our desire for each and every one of you. So as Pastor Wayne has shared, in fact, Pastor Wayne has already transitioned from a pastor into a prophetic prophet. He's already operating his prophet. So I address him as Prophet Wayne Hancock. The transference has already taken place. If you guys ever noticed during the course of the Sunday meetings, he's operating in his primary ministry, his call. And we believe that as he launches out, the fullness of that office will come into play. Yeah, it will. And that's the way God works. It does. So trust us as we trust God. Amen. Pray for us as we pray for you, our pastors, and that this will be a supernatural timing. Provision will be there. The house will be sold. Everything that God does, God does in decency and in order. Amen. And we see it. We see the beginnings of it. And we've seen every intricate detail of it, of what he's doing. And you know, if we can just lay aside for a while the emotions and the feelings that we have, and that's genuine emotions that we feel, and that's great. But allow yourself to see God reveal and unfold his plan as well. Yes, we are sad, but yet we're glad. Yeah, and that's okay. We're good. It's all right to have those feelings, those emotions. But what I'm saying is, lay it aside for a while and begin to see God's plan unfold and being unveiled right before our eyes. Yeah?
Oh, just a few minutes. You know, the plan of God is always grander, so much better than our dreams, our own plans, and what we've kind of thought, you know. Never did we dream, you know, but God's plan is always, it's perfect. And, you know, as a little girl, growing up in a strict Catholic home, you know, in the Catholic faith, you know what my one desire was? I just, for years, I wanted to be a nun. I wanted to be a nun. I had that desire, you know, prayed about it. And even my aunt was a nun, a sister in the Catholic faith. And she, when she was too old, she retired, and she gave me her habit. And God, nobody knows this, but I would wear that thing and look in front of the mirror. Yeah, and have, you know, that box, you know, that they wore, that white box, and then you got that big drape, and then that gown, black gown, and then, you know, all of that. And it was just like, wow, you know, it was just like a dream, you know, it was, oh, and I thought, that's where I'm headed, thank God, you know, because that sisterhood would have been in big trouble had they gotten me at that time, you know, they'd, God, I probably would have gotten excommunicated or something, but, you know, thank God that wasn't the plan of God. But, you know, on down the years, you know, as time progressed, when I was 18, 19, my grandma, my aunt, and my mom, I had an uncle who was a bishop, and he was an archbishop, and they prayed and prayed that I would marry a priest. There was a branch of the Greek Orthodox faith where they allowed the priest to marry. In fact, they couldn't get ordained until they chose a wife. And I was made to go to all these religious gatherings and activities. And my mom and grandma and aunt were just priming me. You know, and they'd introduce me to all these priests and stuff, seminarians. Yeah, and I would have the label kompanyi, which means, you know, a pastor's wife, you know, a priest's wife. And at that age, you know, I mean, I ran the other direction. You know, I wanted no part of it. I was in my hippie rebellious days, you know. And I was like, you know, my brothers are laughing in the background and calling me Punyi Carol. But you know what, though? When I think about it now, my grandma, my aunt, and my mom weren't too far from the, you know, they weren't too far, because I ended up marrying a priest. Yeah, and I'm in the ministry, you know. So it's not that denomination, thank God, but, you know, yeah, it's funny how the Lord just brings things into the right plan for us, the right plan for me. So I burnt that nun's robe and I haven't seen it ever since. That's back home somewhere, you know. But we're just, you know, we're just thrilled being part of the plan of God, because what's in it, when it's His plan, we're going to go forward, and like Pastor said, it's the next phase, and we're going to see and do such wonderful, marvelous things. Not just the supernatural, but in this day and age that we're in, this church is going to see and do wonderful things. Guaranteed, we're going to see blind eyes open. We're going to see people, you know, with, you know, the arms and legs and recreative miracles. We're going to see that. Why? Because we're hungry for it. We're expecting it. We're calling those things forward. And the full manifestation of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, we'll see that here. We've seen it in the past. But at its fullest, though. Why? Because He said so in the Word. And we're heading towards these end times where the greatest outpouring is going to happen. We're going to be right under it. But we have to desire it, though. You know, if you're passive and if you just want to stay where you're at, we need to all do this together, all come on board together. Each one of you have parts. It's not going to just be him and I. All of you, you men and women, are going to be laying hands on. I can see different ones of you praying, you know, seeing those eyes form and the depth here and all of these miracles. They're for the body of Christ. So we're excited for these days ahead. Yeah, we really are. Thank you.
Amen. You know, one of the things Pastor Wayne and I were talking about that, you know, we have technology now, so we would incorporate maybe one Wednesday night podcast where he'll be teaching, and we'll just shoot it on the screen. Yeah, just to let you guys know, these are things that are in the workings, so just to let you guys know that there's no disconnection in that part, and maybe we utilize it, technology. Amen. So, everybody okay? Yes. Amen. Well, the Lord is good, right? Yes. Well, in the light of that, let's receive our tithes and our offerings today.